Of course, we're watching for any news about the New York terrorist truck attack, but there are political developments as well. The suspect is a legal Uzbek immigrant. The Department of Homeland Security is now confirming a claim today from President Trump that he came into the U.S. through something called the Diversity Visa Lottery Program, which is just what it sounds like, a lottery to get more visas to countries with few immigrants to the U.S. This morning in a tweet, President Trump said, "We are fighting hard for merit-based immigration, no more Democrat lottery systems. We must get much tougher and smarter." Well, Democratic leader Chuck Schumer, who played a role in the creation of the program and also proposed ending it in immigration reform that wasn't passed, fired back, tweeting, "I guess it's not too soon to politicize a tragedy."
And then there is other news out of Washington. Republicans delayed the release of their tax cut plan because of disagreements over it. Let's bring in here now political analyst Paris Denard, Republican strategist. Hi, Paris.
Hello, hello, hello.
And Angela Raya, Democratic strategist. Hi, Angela.
Hi.
And let's listen a bit more to the president in the Oval Office today.
"We also have to come up with punishment that's far quicker and far greater than the punishment these animals are getting right now. They'll go through court for years. At the end, they'll be who knows what happens."
Angela, what do you make of the president's response so far?
I really don't. I think that it's more of the same. We continue to look for leadership from the commander-in-chief and continue to struggle to find it. I think what's most unfortunate about his response is finding the time to attack someone in the Senate, the Democratic leader, the minority leader, Chuck Schumer, and blaming him for standing up the diversity visas program and all of the things that he did to work to ensure that immigration would be would create an equal opportunity for immigration policies in this country, that it wouldn't just be granted to folks who have tons of money or, you know, happen to get luckiest the quickest. And I think that it's so sad that in a moment where historically leaders, whether they're at the state level or they are at the federal level, come together and lay partisan politics aside, he's found it in his heart to attack Chuck Schumer.
It's also been pointed out, though, that right after the Las Vegas attack, a lot of people said it's too early to
Absolutely.
Talk about gun control. And in this case, President Trump, the day after the attack, has already started talking about immigration policy. Paris?
Well, I think the difference between the conversation about gun control after the incident and the horrible incident in Las Vegas is the fact that the question that many asked was there anything that could be done? Was there anything that any law, any type that people talk about gun control that could have prevented that incident from happening? And I think the difference between that and what you see in this New York City attack is the fact that this diversity program that's under that Chuck Schumer, the senator, actually did help facilitate. You know, the alleged attacker did come to the country under this diversity program, and so that is one difference. One is could be held responsible for this person and could have prevented it from happening, and the other, there was nothing that could have been done with laws on the books that could have stopped that incident in Las Vegas.
Well,
so I think the president's response is appropriate.
Well, go ahead.
Can I just, sorry, just really quick. Isn't that the same thing as saying, for example, this man was also an Uber driver? Should we then say that Uber's responsible for any time an Uber driver acts crazy? I think that it's very dangerous once we start going down the slippery slope of blaming entire policies or entire companies or entire ways of thinking, right, for terrorism. That is a very dangerous issue, and that is exactly why
it
continues.
Well, Angela, if we use that logic, then why do you all on the left do that when it comes to gun control? After time is the mass shooting and there's violence. You want to apply gun control and say that that's the way that's going to solve it. You have to apply the same logic to gun control.
Paris, I think the distinction here is that gun safety policy should apply across the board. We don't want to make it easy for people who don't have all of their faculties to have ready access to weapons. I think that that is a problem, and I think it's completely different here.
Well,
right?
I think the president's policy is we want to prevent incidents of these types of individuals coming to our country. That's why we need more extreme vetting
to vet the types of people that are coming in here. But extreme vetting wouldn't have stopped
exactly.
The diversity visas program, number one. And number two, Paris, as a black person, you and I are both black people in this country. No, you don't know what I'm going to say. both of us are people of color, and what we should at least acknowledge is there are people from the diaspora who come into this country through that program. That is one way that they do it. And I think that we should not restrict people of color in particular through this program that has worked very well for those of color, as well as from folks right outside of Russia, which is, of course, is where this man is from.
Well, I just want to also add that it doesn't mean that they're not vetted. You know, you have to still be vetted to get a visa. It's just that you get a chance to get a visa. But Paris, it also underscores this was signed into law by George W. Bush, a Republican. And absolutely, as Schumer said, he was agreeing to sort of take it apart through the immigration reform, which didn't pass. And it's a reminder that that everything's kind of gummed up in Washington. Look at the tax cut plan. Republicans now have delayed it. Your thoughts on that?
I think they've delayed it because they want to get it right. They want something that will pass. I think this is a piece of legislation that, look, the Republicans in Congress want to have something to be done by Thanksgiving. And so they're not going to put forth something that will not be able to pass the House, pass the Senate, and get to the president's desk. So they're going to take their time, get it right so that they can have something that's going to be meaningful for middle-class Americans, for working families, and for small business to have the necessary tax relief that we've had and we haven't seen in generations. I think it's an important thing that they're doing. I think it's the right thing to do. Take your time, get it right, and get it signed.
We just spent, though, the week in Kansas last week and were reporting on what happened there, which was basically the same tax plan that's being talked about in Washington in many ways, and it was a total failure. Why would Washington do what was just tried and failed? And by the way, Angela, there are some Democrats that might actually vote for this tax cut plan.
You're right. And I think that this is one of the places where Donald Trump is accurate. If they vote for it, it's going to be like swallowing this poison pill to avoid the consequences of election, which would be to lose. If they are in states that, you know, are more purple or lean more red, they are terrified. And I think that at this point, they think that anything will do. And of course, we know that's not the case. Jeremy, you just brought up a good point about Kansas. We know that historically, people get really excited about things like, oh, reform is coming, but what is in that reform? If it makes the rich richer, if it does not do anything to strengthen and increase opportunities to see your way into the middle class, that isn't a tax plan that will work for the whole of America. And I think that that's where we have the problems. We shouldn't rush to do something just for the sake of reform. To Paris's point, we should ensure that we get it right. And getting it right means that we shouldn't treat folks that are middle class and below like they're invisible.
Okay, this is the first chance we've had to ask you guys about the indictments that came this week from the Mueller investigation into possible Russian interference. Well, there was definitely Russian attempts at interfering in the election and possible ties to the Trump campaign. Paul Manafort, former campaign chair, indicted now under house arrest along with his deputy, Rick Gates. And also the unsealed document that showed that George Papadopoulos, the foreign policy advisor, already pled guilty. Now, we're also learning through those unsealed court documents that Trump campaign officials didn't pick up the phone and call the FBI when George Papadopoulos told them, this is during the campaign, at that meeting where we see him at a table with Jeff Sessions, then Senator Jeff Sessions and candidate Donald Trump, told them that there was an operative offering hacked emails from Hillary Clinton and dirt on Hillary Clinton. Didn't pick up the phone and call the FBI. Mm-hmm. Paris, your thoughts on this?
All I can say is that while that was a great line of things talking about this indictment, the indictment does not, in Papadopoulos's guilty confession, has nothing to do with the president of the United States. It doesn't prove any Russian collusion with the campaign. And so it's just, it's unfortunate for those individuals that have been affected by it, but that does not tie back to Donald J. Trump, who's our president, or the campaign. And that's the truth, and those are the facts. There's no proof or evidence of Russian collusion with Donald J. Trump, the Trump campaign, and this election. If we want to be fair, if we want to be bipartisan, if we want to look at this issue of Russia playing a role possibly with our elections, you got to look at what possibly could have happened on the Democrat side with the Hillary Clinton campaign and the DNC.
Angela?
So, yeah, of course I have a response to this. The problem that we have is Sam Clovis. The problem that we have is, Robin, you just talked about this.
Sam Clovis, remind people.
So Sam Clovis was a part of the campaign, just up for a potential nomination, is now working with the FBI on Mueller on this particular issue. And I think the challenge that we have is he gave George Papadopoulos the go ahead to consider this meeting, to talk about whether or not this is something that Donald Trump should do. The table picture that you talked about, Robin, with Jeff Sessions front and center. Allegedly, Jeff Sessions says in that meeting that they shouldn't go forward. Mm-hmm. Well, Jeff Sessions also testified during his nomination hearing that he didn't know of any contact with Russians and the campaign. Later, he had to retract because he did have a meeting or two, and then he also was a part of this meeting. So it looks like he impeached or perjured himself not once, but twice.
Well, we're going to have to leave it at that.
We've got to leave it at that. And I have a feeling, based on what experts are saying, we're going to be talking about this story for maybe more than a year from now.
Yes.
We won't be talking about Russian collusion in the campaign, though, because there is none.
Angela Rye, Democratic strategist, and Paris Denard, Republican strategist. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks, Jeremy and Robin.